Good morning, Brother Harrison Pott.
Thank you.
Pray with me, my brothers. Lord, we rise early this morning with great expectations in our heads and with boundless love in our hearts and with the name of Jesus on our lips. Help us to overcome anything within us that is inconsistent with your holy will, and guide us day long in the direction that you would have our lives to go. Embolden us to stand in the faith as strong men of Omega, and as servants of thee we pray. Amen. Oh, what a marvelous Monday it is as men of Omega come together for rich fellowship and rewarding study of God's holy word. It brings us great joy to know that the Almighty hears us as we present our petitions before him. God responds with loving kindness to our pleas. Brothers, I am Roy Johnson, a friend to every Omega man, and I greet you in the spirit of sincere friendship to give to you, and that which I receive from you is indeed essential to my soul. Here we believe that a day without prayer is a day without a blessing, and a life without prayer is a life without power. It gives us all great delight to know that our elected leadership, past and present grand officers, come with us before the throne of grace to pray with us. To our right is our first vice grand basilisk, Mark Jackson. Beside him, our grand keeper of records and seals, Sherman Charles. On the other side of him, our grand keeper of finance, Lee Rideout. And at last, our grand counselor, Clement Osemita. To our left, we see the determination and dedication of GB35, Dorsey Miller, and the lofty aspirations for our fraternity of GB40, Antonio Knox. We see also that winsome prayer warrior, who is our immediate past grand chaplain, Walter T. Richardson. And we see that sturdy and strong in faith, former grand chaplain Staccato Powell, who along with Ray Johnson, the originator, made Omega corporate prayer possible. Now, teaching us to count our every blessing is our immediate past grand keeper of finance, Johnny Smith. Now, we all are led by the one who is our 42nd grand basilisk, Ricky Lawrence Lewis, who is the personification of our cardinal principles. He is up early this morning in Los Angeles, and he brings with us a status report on how things were through the weekend. Brother Grand, the line is yours.
Good morning, Brother Grand. How are you?
Sleepy.
You too. You too. Good morning, brothers. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we're going to rejoice and be glad. And let me give a praise report before I start. Vicki and I really had a beautiful dinner last Friday with Brother Grand Dorsey Miller, our 35th Grand Basilisk, and his lovely wife, the First Lady, Sister Betty Miller. We had a great, great fellowship, great dinner last Friday in Fort Lauderdale. And it was really nice. I just want to thank Brother Grand Johnny Smith for coordinating everything. We thank him for his due diligence. And I personally want to thank the brothers of Zeta Chi for their kindness and hospitality while we were in town for the Grand Keeper of Finance and the District Finances retreat. We want to thank Brother Lee Rideout, who did an outstanding job with the District Keeper of Finance. It was a great trip to Fort Lauderdale. There's a bad rumor on the streets. That we don't have any water out here in Los Angeles. We don't have any fire trucks out here in Los Angeles. We don't have any helicopters out here in Los Angeles. And we don't have any planes out here in Los Angeles. That's a bad rumor. Whatever you read, Instagram and Fox, MSNBC, CNN, it's a bad rumor. The issue we have out here, brothers, is 100 miles per hour winds. That's the only issue. We have plenty of water, plenty of fire trucks, plenty of first responders, plenty of helicopters, plenty of fire retardant. It's the winds. Planes can't fly if the wind's over 50 miles per hour. And winds of out here have been about 60, 65. When the winds go down, the planes go up, and we fight the fires, and we have containment. So we're just asking brothers to pray for the winds to die down. And they are coming back today, tomorrow, and Wednesday. So we're trying to do all we can to get these winds down. We need the Lord's. Mother Nature, she's in charge. Nothing can move if she says she don't want it to move. So, brother, we're asking for your prayers. Our DR, Brother A. Young, is doing an outstanding job. I'm in contact with him on a daily basis to see what support he needs. We have set up a donation link. I'll get that Brother Roy Johnson and Brother Kirkland. He can put it on Praying Omega's link and send the email out to the brother. So, brother, we continue to ask you for prayer. The news, don't tell the whole story. The mayor, Karen Bass, is doing an outstanding job. But it's the winds, and we don't know if the winds are going to be around for a long time or just for the next two or three days. But once the winds die down, we go back up. There's no loss of life for brothers that we're aware of. There are three brothers who have lost their homes totally. I mean, just literally burnt to the ground. And we're in contact with those brothers, doing all we can to help them and help their families get back on their feet. It must be pretty devastating that you think you're going to leave your house for two or three hours, and when you finally come back, the house you left don't exist anymore. No pictures, no clothes, no stove, no couch, no bed, nothing. Just burnt to a crisp. And there's thousands and thousands and thousands of people who are in that situation right now. Fortunately, the weather is relatively good. It's not cold. We're just trying to find brothers. Members of the Divine Nine have lost their houses as well. I'm in contact with all the presidents of the Divine Nine. So it's just one of those bad situations with these fires. And this is a fire that comes, one of them 100-year fires that you have these kind of winds. So I just want to get on this morning, brother, to dispel the bad rumor that's going around with the news. And I'll continue to keep the brotherhood abreast in terms of where we are. We're looking forward to a great prayer call. I was just on with Manhood Monday with the Brothers of Georgia, Brother Mohandas Martin and his team. Brother Tim Sims had a beautiful message this morning. So, brothers, every Monday morning, at 6 a.m. Eastern, there's Manhood Monday on Zoom. If you can jump on that and then come on to the prayer call with us. Brother Johnson, thank you. I'll be on afterwards, as I always am, Brother Johnson, answer any questions brothers may have, how you can mitigate some of these rumors, share information about donation, how brothers can help. But we need your prayers. We need your prayers. We need your prayers that these winds can die down. The air is poor. The quality of air is poor. There's a lot of soot in the air all across the city. People are wearing masks, keeping their windows up in their car, windows up in their house, trying to mitigate this soot that's going on in the city. But God is good. God is able. And we're going to get through this. And again, we ask you for your prayers. Brother Graham, thank you for this opportunity. And I yield back to you.
Thank you, Brother Graham. Brother Graham, since you're going to hang around, I'm going to ask as we exit after the benedictory prayer that when we go to the parking lot, I'm going to give him advance notice that at 7:10 Eastern time, Brother McGriff, will you stay on the wall and lead us in prayer at 7:10, talking to the Lord, because the Lord can say, peace be still, and that
wind will
die down. All right. McGriff, you're on notice. Brothers, pardon me as I continue to try to express my gratitude for the cards, calls, contributions, and texts from so many of you in the season of sadness for my family. But my family and I have never asked for anything from you in way of financial contribution in lieu of flowers. And you didn't have to do it, but you did. And because men of Omega thinking of me from across the Omega footprint, my sisters and I were able to put our meager resources with your bountiful resources and contribute more than $6,000 to the West Virginia State University Foundation, the school at which our mother worked for years in the registrar's office. And we thank you. Brothers, God is good. And some of us know full well that we are never without the Lord making a way for us. One brother who was made in the 8th District more than 50 years ago has lived his life with the understanding that God has been with him, holding his hand even through difficult moments. Brother Tony Kirk, come say to the men of Omega just how confident you are that the Lord has held your hand. The line is yours, my brother.
Good morning, Brother Grant. Can you hear me?
Clearly, clearly.
Yes, thank you, thank you, thanks for the intro. Like Brother Grant said, I am from the A, my brothers. Protocol already being established, and thank you, Brother Graham 42, for the update. I am indeed Tony Kirk from the 8th District, Fall 174, Mu Delta Chapter, University of Iowa. Spending time at SIGO in Chicago and currently with Delta Mu Mu here in the Atlanta area. I was honored when Brother Graham Roy asked me to talk briefly on how I knew and how I know God holds my hand. So being old school and a fan of classics, I was led to use the first letters of the theme, Holds My Hand, to tell my testimony. So brothers, to begin with, I know that God holds my hand because H, he held my hand when I was living on the west side of Chicago in the early 70s. After attending a church revival led by the Reverend Milton Bronson of Christ Tabernacle Church, I had to walk through three different street gang neighborhoods to get to my home. I guess I didn't know it then, but I was putting it full because I was just walking and appraising through these gang neighborhoods with the gang members out there, and not once did I feel threatened, and not once did anybody threaten me. So that's the H. And O, only God could have stopped the car within inches of T-boning me on an icy road with my car spin, and I did a 180, and my infant son, my oldest son, was in the back seat. It was only God who could do that. But L, the Lord lifted me up at one of my lowest points of my life when I could not understand why my middle teenage son was causing so much disruption and chaos in our family. And Brother Roy, you know we talked about that many times. But God said, lean on me, and he showed me the way that it was only spiritual warfare. And he came to me and said, I got your back, and things have been a lot better since that moment. The D, he directed my path, instilled determination, and deciding my steps in life. Keep me doing the things that make a difference. For the letter S, he saved me when I was a nervous high school naive senior, and we needed a cart to pull out our black student union homecoming float. And the BSU president and I were looking, believe it or not, to steal a car on the west side of Chicago, checking all the doors and looking for one that was unlocked. But believe it or not, we had no luck because God was looking after me. And the irony, brothers, I couldn't even drive, but I was hanging out with this guy. Now we go to the M. It was my mother's love, her grit, her inspiration, and constant prayer that molded me into the person I am today. I miss her so much. But why? Yes. I say, yes, Lord, I love you. Yes, Lord, I magnify you. Yes, Lord, use me. My soul cries, yes. Now for hands. H, honor, help, and above all, to be humble. Enough said. The A answers my prayers over and over again to numerous connections, to numerous accounts, whether it's a large prayer like purchasing a home or career changing or something as simple as deciding to reach out to a friend, the Lord answers my prayers. And my God never left me, even when I gave him every reason to do so, no matter the circumstances. And my brothers, I've heard hundreds of testimonies on this prayer line, and I know I can say without any doubt that he will never leave you also. And D is for I am so thankful God gave his only son to die for us so that we may have the opportunity to spend eternity with him. In summary, holds my hand, God holds my hand, and he does only the thing that can be done by him. He performed the miracles. He lifted me up. He directed my path. He saved me from dangers unseen, kept my mother's memories, and keeps my mother's memories alive. I say yes to doing his will. He keeps me humble. He answers my prayers, and he never leaves me. And he died so I may have a chance at eternal life. This is just a few examples of I know why God holds my hand and will continue to do so. Brother Grant, this is surely the best I can do at 6:30 in the morning. And Brother Grant Richardson, I'm a little technically challenged, so I may have to mail you that $5. Brother Grant, I yield my time.
Cash App him. Cash App Walter T. Richardson $5.
My wife has to my wife do it. I can't do
All
it.
Right.
My wife has to do it.
All right. Good morning, Dawn. Brothers, hang with me just a little while longer as we visit the home of the heavyweights, the 8th District, where spiritual uplift is given routinely by District Chaplain Christopher McCroy. This young brother is everything in fidelity to his charge that Omega inspires her sons to be. And while wise beyond his years, he does not lose the common touch with his chronological peer group. Come now, Brother Chaplain, and tell us what this morning's prophecy from the Lord is. The line is yours.
God bless you, Brother Green. Good morning to all of you, my brothers in Christ and in Omega. Truly, it is a joy to be before you once again this Monday. To Brother GB42, it's always great to hear your voice, my brother, and know that we're praying for you and all those in California. And to my brother from Iowa, we know that great connection between Nebraska and Iowa, so it's always great to hear from my brother as well. To all of you, my brothers, I greet you with Jesus' joy this morning, a joy that the world did not give, and therefore the world should never be able to take away. Brothers, it brings me great joy as we look towards the conclusions in the final chapters of this, the book of Genesis, as we reach towards the tail end of this particular book. For we know that the book of Genesis tells the foundational story of God's covenant with humanity, starting with creation and moving through the patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and now Joseph, the fourth major figure in the lineage of faith. Joseph's narrative begins in Genesis 37 and continues through the end of the book, painting a picture of God's providence, God's sovereignty, and the redemptive purposes he accomplishes through human suffering. This morning, my brothers, we will examine Genesis chapters 37 through 40 to place a spiritual stethoscope to the heart of Joseph as he journeys from a favored son to a slave in Egypt. As a youth, Joseph certainly did not lack self-confidence. Joseph's natural self-assurance, which increased by being his father's favorite son and by knowing of God's design for his life given to him in his dreams, was unbearable to his 10 older brothers. Their envy and disdain for Joseph was so great that it caused them to conspire against him to sell him into Egyptian slavery at the age of 17. His brothers hated him because their father favored him. After being sold by his own brothers and taken to Egypt, the record tells us that Joseph was then bought by one of the Pharaoh's officials named Potiphar. Joseph found grace and favor in Potiphar's eyes and therefore became his attendant. Potiphar put him in charge of his entire household, and he entrusted his care to everything that he owned. From the time he put Joseph in charge, the Lord blessed his entire household and all that he owned. The blessing of the Lord was on everything Potiphar had, both in the house and in the field. As time went on, Scripture tells us that Potiphar's wife started to catch feelings for Joseph. She became so enthralled, enraptured, enamored, and enticed by Joseph's looks that she invited him to sleep with her. However, Joseph refused. Potiphar's wife was so incensed by Joseph's rejection that she lied and claimed that Joseph tried to commit adultery with her. Due to her false allegations, Joseph's master took him and placed him in prison, favored by his father, but alienated by his brothers. Joseph was sold into Egyptian slavery, then imprisoned for a crime that he did not commit. In other words, Joseph, this dreamer, was living a nightmare. However, it was during Joseph's imprisonment that he gained a reputation as an accurate interpreter of dreams. While in prison, Pharaoh's butler and baker were also thrown into prison, and it was during their imprisonment that Joseph interpreted their dreams, and the butler was released and restored to his position. Despite a 2-year stint in prison, Joseph's God-given ability served him well as he was summoned by Pharaoh to interpret a host of his own troubling dreams, Joseph was called from prison to the palace, from the dungeon to Pharaoh's dwelling. But it is here at the precipice of this particular text that the Lord has called us to place our spiritual anchor. The record goes on to tell us that once Pharaoh dreamt these peculiar, perplexing, and puzzling dreams, Pharaoh first sought out the help of magicians and wise men, but they could not provide the support that he needed. As we pause and examine the context of these particular chapters, we know that the 37th chapter introduces Joseph, this favored son of Jacob, whose preferential treatment ignites jealousy among his brothers. We see Joseph's family dynamics reflect the cultural norms of the ancient Near East, where birth order and inheritance were significant. Joseph, as the 11th son but firstborn of Rachel, disrupts expectations, creating tension among his brothers. Genesis 37 reveals the destructive nature of favoritism and envy, demonstrating how human sinfulness disrupts family unity. Joseph's dreams, where his brother's sheaves bow to his, foreshadow God's plan for Joseph's future leadership. This particular chapter sets the stage for the unfolding of God's sovereign plan through what seems like tragedy. And oh, my brothers, that's good news, that even in betrayal, God is still at work, that God is still orchestrating events for his purpose, despite the trials and temptations we face. But as we press on to chapter 38, this chapter shifts focus to Judah, one of Joseph's brothers. Judah's interaction with Tamar highlights deliberate marriage customs of the time, which ensured the continuation of a deceased man's lineage. The inclusion of this seemingly unrelated story underscores the moral decay within Jacob's family. Genesis 38 contrasts Judah's sinful choices with Joseph's righteousness in subsequent chapters. It also points to God's redemptive work in unexpected ways. Here, my brothers, we see that Judah's transformation begins with his acknowledgement of wrongdoing. God can bring redemption through broken and messy situations as long as we maintain the ability to acknowledge wrongdoing. But as we press forward to chapter 39, Joseph's journey continues in Egypt, where he is sold to Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh. You see, my brother, slavery was a common institution in ancient Egypt, and Joseph's rapid rise in Potiphar's house demonstrates his exceptional character, but also God's favor. This particular chapter highlights Joseph's unwavering integrity. It shows that God was faithful despite unjust circumstances. His refusal to yield to Potiphar's wife's advances shows his commitment to righteousness. And oh, my brothers, we are called to do the same. Despite temptations on every hand, we are called to maintain integrity. We are called to remain steadfast and unmovable in spite of the suffering we face. This repeated refrain throughout our focus text today, "The Lord was with Joseph," reminds us that God's presence sustains us in adversity. Oh, my brothers, do we maintain our integrity when no one is watching? God's presence ought to empower us to live righteously, even when it costs us. And finally, my brothers, in chapter 40, Joseph's ability to interpret dreams reflects the ancient belief that dreams were divine messages. His interaction with Pharaoh's cupbearer and baker in prison underscores his God-given wisdom and prepare the way for his eventual rise to power. This chapter demonstrates how God's gift in our lives serve his purpose. Joseph's faithfulness in small things, even in prison, positions him for greater responsibilities. Joseph uses his gift of dream interpretation to serve others, even in a place of hardship. And oh, my brothers, we must use our God-given ability even when the circumstances and environment don't seem optimal. In conclusion, my brothers, the story of Joseph's slavery in Egypt is one of hope, perseverance, and faith in the face of adversity. each chapter we have delved into this morning, from betrayal to false accusation to forgotten promises, shows that God's purpose cannot be stopped. Joseph's life reminds us that even when we cannot see the full picture, God is working all things together for our good. Brothers, it is with this knowing that we look to God in prayer. Let us pray. God of our weary years, God of our silent tears, thou who has brought us thus far along the way, thou who has by thy might led us into the light, keep us forever in the path, we pray. Gracious God, we come to you this morning with a hefty list of cares, concerns, and petitions on our hearts and our minds. But, oh God, we clear our hearts, our minds right now, trusting and believing that you are able to work every situation out for our good. God, we know this morning that there's no problem that you can't solve, and we know that there's no heartache that you cannot dissolve. We know, oh God, that you're able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all we could ever ask or think. And so, oh God, we come this morning to lift up Mr. James and Ruth Palmer from Lakewood, California, as they face the possibility of having to evacuate their home. God, we pray right now that even if this is the case, we ask that you help them overcome any hurdles or any barriers that they may encounter. Make a way, oh God, for Mr. James and Ruth Palmer. God, we're praying for Shirley Holland, who has breast and thyroid cancer. God, we know that this did not take you by surprise, that you have Sister Shirley Holland in the hollow of your hand, and we pray, oh God, that you touch her body right now. God, we know that you're able to do it. And so, God, we submit her into your hands, knowing that you're going to work her situation out for her good. God, we're praying for Josiah Dawkins, a seventh grader who recently underwent open heart surgery. We ask, oh God, that you continue to keep this young brother. We pray that you continue to keep the Dawkins family. We ask, oh God, that you continue to uplift the Delta Mu Mu chapter as they support this, their young mentee. God, we know that you're going to do it, and we pray that you strengthen him. And we pray, oh God, that you give him a testimony on the other side of this trial. God, we're lifting up Sister Olivia Moore, the daughter of Brother Daryl Moore, as she has to have further blood testing after preliminary lab results raised concern. God, again, no matter what the doctors may say, we know that you're the ultimate physician. We know that you're in full control, that there is nothing you can't handle. And so, God, we pray that you bless and sustain Sister Moore right now. We're praying, oh God, for Brother Jesse Burnett in the transition of his sister, Pauline Johnson. We pray, oh God, that you comfort the Burnett and Johnson family even now. We're praying, oh God, for Brother Lawrence Hawkins, who was scheduled to have surgery this morning to repair a torn meniscus in his left knee. God, we pray that you be with our dear brother, that you bring calmness to his mind, and that you strengthen his faith in you, O God, to know that you will bring him through stronger than ever before. God, we're praying for Brother Marshall Smith and family, as his brother passed away just a month ago, and unfortunately his mother passed just yesterday. God, we pray that you be with our dear brother. But we know, O God, that you are a mother to the motherless, and we know that you are a brother to the brotherless, that you will step in and meet him at his point of need. We know that you're going to do it, oh God, and we pray that you use us to stand by his side in the days, weeks, and years ahead. God, we're praying for the family of Brother Robert Johnson Sr., who has entered Omega Chapter. We are praying for the entire Johnson family this morning, oh God, that you undergird each and every one of them and let them know that you are able to provide that joy and that peace that passeth all understanding. And finally, oh God, we're lifting up Brother Tommy Hunter, who has received some concerning news regarding his health. But, oh God, we're coming to you this morning to say that we trust you and that we will not lose faith, that we are putting all our hope and trust in you. Despite what the doctors have said on this side of heaven, we know that we trust in a heavenly and divine physician that is able, that is worthy to be praised, from the rising of the sun to the going down of the same. So, God, even in the midst of these trials and concerns, we come this morning to say that we love you And we're going to make a decision to praise you in advance for all that you're getting ready to do. Our list may be long. We know that there are prayers and concerns on every hand. But, God, we come as a sign of faith in you that you're going to work everything out together for our good. Because we love you, we thank you, we praise you, and we thank you for what you're getting ready to do in our lives. This is our prayer, O God, in the name of Jesus the Christ. And all the brothers said, amen.
Blue Monday. Good morning, Blue. I have no justifiable complaints there. Dapper Dave.
Blue Monday.
One love, Zach and Errol yesterday. One love, Big Mike.
I like to have a blue.
Brother John Clark. I got you, Brother John Clark. I got you, Brother John Clark.